Are you on the way to Jerusalem? Certainly, because we're in the season of Lent, and in some figurative way, we're all on the road to Jerusalem. We're all focusing on that journey of our Lord to go to the place where he would meet his death but have his greatest triumph. We started Lent two Wednesdays ago with about 60 people here going through the traditional service where we admit our humanness, where we face our own mortality, where we receive with the ashes the sign of the cross. I heard a great story recently from a young minister who confessed his first experience in the parish going through Ash Wednesday. And he knew that the ashes for Ash Wednesday are made from the palms that are burned from last year's Palm Sunday. But he had a hard time getting the palms to burn. And he didn't save enough of them, and he didn't have many ashes. So he decided, well, ashes are ashes. So he remembered one of his church members had a fireplace. And so he called down and said, I need some ashes for Ash Wednesday service. Could you get me some out of your fireplace? And the guy says, yeah, how much do you need? And he says, oh, about a gallon bag ought to do. And so the guy brings him a gallon Ziploc bag of ashes. And so he didn't realize how little he really needed, but he took the ashes, mixed it with some olive oil or sweet oil, and mixed his mixture for making the sign of the cross. And so they go through the service, and people come, as many as, as just as you did, and they kneel at the altar, and he says those powerful words, remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And as he went on through the service, he noted that people were kind of teary-eyed, more than usual, and was wondering what was happening. And he also realized he had this strange sensation on his own forehead. And what they discovered was that the guy had burned something in his fireplace that had some kind of toxicity to it. And for about 3 or 4 weeks, everybody that came to Ash Wednesday service had this red cross on their forehead everywhere they went. Now, that's being bold in the Lord. And yet, in some real way, everywhere we go, there's a sense in which we should have that sign of the cross upon us. Not that we should go to that kind of extreme to do it. See, Jesus, when he was told about the threat of Herod, called him a fox. And he says, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. And really figuratively spoke of his resurrection after 3 days. And he was hurt at the prospects that when he went to Jerusalem, where the great prophets were killed, knowing that all of the prophets were killed in Jerusalem because people didn't want to hear him, he says these comforting words. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who were sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What a marvelous picture of love, of compassion that our Lord pours out in that moment. Standing on the Mount of Olives, as I have, looking down into the city of Jerusalem from that vantage point, Now all you can see is the Dome of the Rock, but Jesus beheld the great second temple, the center of the life of God's people. And I believe he probably wept as he said these words. Because, see, he was not afraid for himself, for his own death. He knew the kind of death that he was facing. He knew the kind of torment he would go through. But his sorrow was for the great city of God, the symbol to the world of God's love of humanity, and how they killed the prophets and stoned those sent to them to bring them back to God. And so, oh, how I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings to love them, to protect them, to watch over them. He was more concerned about their living than he was about his own death. For he was on his way to Jerusalem. Now, whether we realize it or not, we're on the way to Jerusalem as well. Why? Because we're going to die. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's a time and a season for everything, a time to be born and a time to die. We're going to die. It's just a matter of time. What is the greatest contributor to death in the world today? What would you suspect? But the greatest contributor to death is birth. The greatest factor contributing to death is birth. Because if you get born, you're going to die. It's inevitable. And we spend our whole lifetimes avoiding that reality. We're on our road to Jerusalem. See, Jesus was on the road to his death, his execution, his abandonment, his crucifixion, in order to fulfill his purpose and mission in life. To fulfill his love in relationship with Abba Father. And each one of us has a purpose and mission in life that we are to fulfill if we are to be faithful to Abba Father. And we're on our own road to Jerusalem, wherever that may take us. The question is, will we fulfill our purpose and mission that God gave to us to please Abba Father? That's what it's really all about for us as Christians. You see, if we are really spiritual beings having a human experience, because we were spoken forth by God before the foundation of the world with a purpose, just as surely as Jeremiah had a purpose, we hear, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you, I appointed you. To Jeremiah to be a prophet, but he appointed you to be something special. He gave you a specific purpose, a specific mission. So if we really are spiritual beings having a human experience, then we just move from life to life. That death is really a spiritual experience in our human existence with physical complications. But it's still a spiritual experience because we're spiritual beings and our spirits will never die. But how we live out our purpose, how we fulfill our destiny given to us by Abba Father, will determine where we spend eternity. So knowing about our journey to our Jerusalem is really quite important. After my devotions this morning, I had to change what I was going to preach on. You know, sometimes I'm just amazed at how God speaks to us through His Word if we're faithful to go to the Word. And this morning, I said, you know, it's inescapable that I should not share this with the people at St. Matthew's. For in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Paul speaks to us with these words beginning in verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I have laid a foundation and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become manifest. For the day, meaning the day of judgment, will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one of us has done. And if the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. The question is our own self-absorption, our own plans, our own projects in life, leading us to the fantasy that we're not going to have to face this reality of death? We're not going to have to make our journey to our Jerusalem. You know, we'd rather believe in signs. We'd rather believe that one day science, the medical profession, will be able to alleviate the last disease, death. But it won't happen. As a matter of fact, one physician in a respected medical journal made this statement: in my opinion, death is an insult, the stupidest, ugliest thing that can ever happen to a human being. Well, if all you are is a human being, that may be true. But we're spiritual beings. And death is as much a part of life as birth. So why do we run from that reality? Why are we not worried about the foundation upon which we're building our lives that's, for the most part, going to be burned up and not exist? Because we haven't made Christ Jesus, Abba Father, our real foundation. St. Benedict, the father of Western monasticism, offers this advice: keep your death before your eyes each day. Keep your death before your eyes each day. Parker Palmer says, without this reality, there is no true spirituality. If we're not aware that this could be the last day of our lives. In her novel, The Nice and the Good, Iris Murdoch tells a story of a man trapped in one of these seaside caves. And he's so fascinated by the cave that he gets in there and then realizes he's waist high in water and the tide's coming in, and he's not likely to make it out of that cave. And he thinks, and I quote from her book, "If I ever get out of here, I will be no man's judge. Not a judge, not to be superior, not to exercise power, not to seek in my life. To love and to reconcile and to forgive is the only thing that matters. Forgiveness, reconciliation, love, not law." What would you be thinking if you were faced with the possibility of imminent death. You see, as disciples, we can't afford to ignore this and be true disciples. Not because we're pessimistic, but we know, as Jesus tells us in John, because I live, you will live also. In a letter to a young student who was inspired by his aging professor to open a prayer center, the old teacher wrote back to the young man, "Never banish the thought of death from your consciousness. Never banish the thought of death from your conscience." Much like Saint Benedict. See, our real life is in the spiritual realm. You are heading on your particular journey to your Jerusalem, whatever that is. Have you fulfilled your purpose and your destiny to please Abba Father? You're on that road, whether you like it or not. How you walk it will be judged by our Father in heaven. Let us pray. Gracious Father, may Jesus, our Savior and Lord, inspire us as we go on our journey to our Jerusalem to reveal to the world that we are your children, heirs of the kingdom. May we not fear death, but in his death find hope and power to live by the resurrection power that he offers to us. Help us to build a foundation, not on our own plans and projects and hopes and ideals that are so grounded in this world that will be burned up and tossed away when you come in the day of judgment, but to build on the only foundation, Christ Jesus, that will survive that final judgment and give us confidence to know that because he lives, we will live also. Bless us as we journey forward to our Jerusalem. Amen.